tell you what, I think the devil, he likes to fight, because it has been one of them evenings.
I've done tore the microphone up, so I'm keeping it in my pocket. I'm using Kelly's Bible, not her notes, to preach from, because mine's at the house. It was raining so hard coming down the road we couldn't see, and there about Tom's Creek, it was pretty bad, and I was in the right lane, and I'll have to tell on myself and say, oh, me, and forgive me, but hit a puddle of water, and Kelly said, don't you think you should drive in the left lane? I said, do you want to drive? So it's been one of those afternoons. So on the way down, I said something about my Bible, and they said, it's laying at the house. I said, how did I do that? And I said, I don't know. And I said, Lord will take care of us. I said, I've never relied too heavily on notes. And Chloe said, well, that's a good thing then. So it may be interesting tonight, but the Lord's good. And if I do better than usual tonight, y'all say because I was using Kelly's Bible is probably the reason for it. But God's good to us, and I thank Him. Also, I tell you, as when Mark came to me this morning and said, can you preach tonight? Yep, no, yeah, I'll preach. Wasn't any question there. Already knew when he asked that what it was that I was going to preach tonight, and I can't help but think, and here again, not putting myself in any elevated status, but I think the devil battling and all these obstacles being thrown up might be a good indication that the Lord's got something pretty good for us tonight. Some of you probably probably got excited when Mark said that. You thought you'd get out of here early tonight, but I wouldn't just bank on that just yet. So if you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. That's where we're going to take off from. That ain't where we're going to stay very long, but that's where we're going to start off from, is Genesis chapter number 1. And I'd ask when you find your place that you stand for the reading of God's Word. And like I say so many times, it is important that you look at God's Word. There's something about reading those words and looking at them. There's more of a connection made than just hearing those. And so when we hear them, that's one thing. When we read them, that's something else. But let me say this about God's Word. When we see them in action, that's even more. And it makes more of an impact on us. But it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Stephen Painter, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer? We read here in the book of Genesis chapter 1 what we know is the creation. And I will let us just say right here, I believe God did what He said that He did. You know, a lot of folks, I tell you, they believe a lot of things. And you say, well, how did this happen and how did that? I don't know all the answers, but He does. And guess what? You don't know all the answers either. Because I guarantee you, every one of us drove here in a car, and you could not sit down and go home and just build one from scratch by yourself. Well, there might be one or two of them, but for the most part, we couldn't do that. But, you know, we have faith and we have trust. There's a lot of working parts, but we see the end product. And the same way with the creation, I believe what it says here, that God did it. something that tickles me to death here. It says, in the beginning, God. I am glad to know that what we know as the beginning, God was already there. You know what that tells me? He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have a start, because He always has been and always will be. You know, this. Some people, they really struggle with that. You know, the Bible's clear. Time is for man. Time is not for God. You see, God saw all of it in an instant. He knows all of it in an instant. And you see here in the beginning, it says God. You see, that is with everything in a Christian's life. It ought to be that God should be the beginning of it. It ought to be the start of it. Everything that we do, everything that we endeavor, God should be the foundation and the beginning of it all. It has nothing to do with the message tonight, so that one was free. But we see here that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It tells us there that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You see, already here in the first two verses, we have seen God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, we know from reading over in the New Testament that Christ was there. But do you know we see it evidenced in verse number 3? Because it says, and God said. You say, well, how does that prove that Christ was there? What is Christ but the Word of God? And how can you say without words? So we see that we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all there at the creation. And what I want us to see from this is that God did it. God was it. He didn't ask for anyone else's help. And we see over and over through this chapter, and God said, and God said, and God said, repeated. If you go home and you read this, you can count the number of times that, and God said. We see evidence there of God's Word. And do you know what I think that we see here? Something so amazing, something that I think about so many times. We can go out here in the middle of the night on a clear night and we look up and we see the stars, or we get up in the morning and we see the sun rise, or we walk out like this morning we got here and me and Brother Eric were walking along and it was just raining and there was a bird just a singing in the tree. Do you know what I see in all of that? God's power. And that's what I want us to talk about tonight a little bit, is the power that God has. You see, we serve a God that is so powerful that without anyone or without anything, like the way one preacher says it, He stepped out onto nothing and made everything. You see, that is the power that my God has. It's, He can simply speak things into existence. I tell you what, y'all need to try that sometime, see if it works for you. You know, we can't do that. You know, we might try things and say things, and I know this is silly, but I can't help but tell you about it. Over at Black Mountain, Tom Glenn, one of the deacons there, said when he was just a little boy, he said every morning his granny made him breakfast. And said, and it wasn't no Pop-Tart neither. It was biscuits and gravy every morning before we got on the bus. He said, I don't know how many times that bus driver had to wait for us to finish our biscuits and gravy. He said, but one morning I was in an extra foul mood. And he said, there I sat. And he said, I put that biscuit on my plate. And he said, I don't know why, but I just looked at it and said, crumble. And you know what? He said, it didn't do a thing. You know what? Us just speaking something doesn't cause things necessarily to happen. If you don't believe that so, say something to your youngins and see if it happens. It may or it may not. You see, we don't have the same power of speech that God had. God said, and He didn't just say the words, but the things happened. They just took place. And we see God's power in that. And think about how mighty that is. As I said, when you walk outside and there's no clouds in the sky and you look up and you see the stars, it is my God that spoke those into those positions. If you do any studying and looking, they talk about Earth and where it is placed in relationship to the sun. If we were just a little bit closer, we'd all burn up. If we was just a little bit further away, we'd all freeze to death. But the God that I serve put us in the exact right place at the right time. That's the power that He has. He did all of that not with a mathematician. He did all of that not with some scientist, but He did that simply by His Word. That's how powerful my God is. And you see, you can read all through the Bible about God's power. We see it exhibited all through there. All the way from Genesis to Revelation, you see it. So many places through the Word of God, I think about His power. One of them that I love so much is over there where the prophet was there at Mount Carmel and God answered with fire. Man, I think about the power of God that we see in that. I think about the power of God that we see there. I think about the different ones. I think about Moses there when they come to the Red Sea and those waters parted. You say, well, and some have tried to explain it by some weather phenomenon. That ain't what happened. Why? Because it didn't say just that the waters parted, but it says also that they went across on dry ground. That's my God. That's the power He has. That is the ability that He has. And we can see time after time on almost every page of the Word of God, we can see His power. We can see it exhibited in great and mighty ways. You know, as I said, as we go through, you just think about time after time. And all of you right now are probably thinking about different times in the Word of God that you see His power exhibited. When you see things taking place and when you see things happening and you see all of this, you think about David and Goliath. How else but God could that have happened? All the miracles of the Bible we see, it's because of His power. He is so powerful that He spoke all of this into existence. Now you say, well, that's good. And we said that, you know, His Word, you know, thinking about that and going on a little bit further in God's power, and talking about His Word and how powerful that Word is. Over in the book of Jeremiah, you find in a couple different places, Jeremiah chapter number 5 and verse number 14, we see we see here in this scripture, God's Word being described, how powerful it is. It says in chapter number 5, verse number 14 in Jeremiah, "Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." You see, it wasn't Jeremiah's words that had that power. He said, what he says there is, he says, "I will make my words in thy mouth." You see, the difference is, it wasn't about Jeremiah. It was about my God. It was about what He had to say. And you know, still today, when a preacher of the Word of God stands and he preaches in the presentation of the gospel and he preaches not within himself but within the Spirit, do you know what we see? We see this same thing. We see God's Word becoming fire. We see this God's Word becoming real and it coming through a man that He sends it through. Here we see that He says that His Word will be fire. And He says, "And this people would, and it shall devour them." You see, He's preaching to a group of people that God has already spoke against. God's already said what the prophets had done and all of these things. You see, Jeremiah was coming speaking the truth. You know, you see also in Jeremiah chapter number 23 and 29, verse 29, you see His Word described again. You see it described a little differently, not as fire this time. It does reference back to this verse we just read, but in Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, it says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" You see, God's word is powerful. You see, it's like a hammer. It can break things into pieces. It can devour. And do you know, one of these days when this world comes to an end, everybody will stand before Him and they will not be judged upon the deeds that they have done. They will not be judged against the good and evil that has been in their life, but they'll be judged against the Word of God and what it says. And there is only one thing that will keep us from hell, and that is Jesus Christ. But here in Jeremiah, we see how powerful God's Word is once again. It's that devouring flame. It's that crushing hammer. You see, God's Word is powerful. You see, as I said, we've seen God's power all through the Old Testament. We've seen it all the way here into Jeremiah. We've seen it all the way through. And of course, God's power goes on in to the New Testament. It doesn't end at the end of the Old Testament. You see, and let me just go ahead and say this. It doesn't end at the end of what we refer to as our Bible. you know what, it is still today. But we see what, and a verse that just, this is what really put me on this line and just this thought, is over in the book of Romans. We're going to see there how powerful God's Word is. How powerful it is. Now you remember, His Word is powerful enough to create. His Word is powerful enough to create the heavens and the earth. And that is great and that is mighty. And we can see all other times when things that were done that exhibit God's power. But I would contend with you here tonight in the book of Romans, chapter number 1 and verse number 16, we find the greatest demonstration of God's power that I can find anywhere in the Word of God. It says in that 16th verse of Romans chapter number 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You know, so many times we read over this verse. I believe, wasn't it J. Harold Smith that started out every radio broadcast with that verse? And many times we would read over it and really, and we would focus maybe on the not being ashamed or other aspects. But what I want us to look at tonight and think about tonight is the power of God. You see, the gospel of Christ, that is the power of God. Not just the power for creation, not just the power in a time of trouble, but it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, you think about that for just a second. When God stepped out where there was nothing and made something, that's miraculous. Let me try to put it to you like this. If this level right here is nothing, where God found me was down here. In the creation, He started out with nothing and made something. And I'm not putting anybody down, but all of us was down here when He found us. So to me, this shows more power than even creation, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You see, He didn't start off with nothing. He started off with less than nothing. And you know what? If we'll let Him, He'll make something out of that less than nothing. And we see here, as it says in that word, in that verse there, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Everyone. That word, them two words right there rank up there with me with that whosoever. Everyone. That does not exclude anyone. But it says everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I'm glad He didn't stop with the Jew, but it went on to the Greek. Because do you know what? If He had only extended this power to the Jews, we would be missing out. If He had only extended this power unto a certain group, we would be missing out. But we see here by Him saying the Jews and the Greeks, what we're seeing is that it's everyone. He is reiterating that this power that we find, this gospel that we find, it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, as we looked at God's Word here and began to study and look at it and try to see what God would have us to bring out, you know, I looked up some stuff and you know, y'all know me, I ain't real smart, but I can read a little bit. It's like a fellow at work the other day, he asked me, he said, "Well, can you do that?" I said, "Well, I can read, you know, so I can figure it out." You know, so, I looked up that word power. And as you probably know, the New Testament is translated from the Greek. And when you go back to that Greek word that I ain't even going to try really to pronounce or pronounce correctly, but it's dunamis. Anyway, it literally means force. It means miraculous power, ability, abundance, might, power, strength, violence, mighty works. All of those things are contained in that word. But what I want us to think about, a word that we might be a little more than the dynamis, something that we might be a little more familiar with. Y'all ever heard of dynamite? That is taken from that same word root. Now, there's a whole lot that I don't understand about the Greek, but I understand a little bit about dynamite. And anybody in here ever seen dynamite go off? Boy, it's something, ain't it? You know, that it is something to watch that take place. You know, working out there on the roads, a lot of times they'll use dynamite or different explosives to blow things up. And do you know, when really what you ought to do when anything dangerous is going to be happening. You should remove yourself as far as you can. But do you know what happens every time they're going to blow up some rock or pull a shot, as they call it? People come from everywhere. Now, isn't that silly? Here, you know something immensely dangerous is getting ready to happen, and you just got to see it. You know, that's just like everybody wanting to stop and see a wreck on the side of the road. But I've seen that so many times. I worked on a job that almost every day they were pulling a shot. Every day they were drilling, and the next day they would shoot, and they would drill, and they would shoot. It became second nature, but I never got tired of watching that dynamite go off. Boy, it's something. There's just something about it. Why? Because it's got power. You know, that power, I think, is what people are in awe about. You know, they want to see these things that seem so formidable just reduced to rubble by what seems so small. You know, them fellas, they would take those drills and they would drill down into the rock, and it would take a long time just to drill those holes in, just to make those little holes that didn't have any impact really on the rock other than just the little holes. Then they would put this down in there, and they would have sometimes spent days drilling those holes. But just in a, like that, just in a second, all of a sudden that power was unleashed. And that was so formidable, that was so solid, that seemed like it was impenetrable, all of a sudden didn't even exist anymore. I remember one day we were up on 221 and they were getting ready to pull a shot, and we had been watching them do all this, and it was going to be the last one, so everybody gathers around. And I don't know a lot about this stuff, but apparently it's a lot more dangerous to pull a shot about that deep than it is 20 or 30 foot deep. And so these boys, they're getting ready to go, and I'm standing up there with one of the other inspectors, and all the guys that did drilling, they were Hispanic, didn't speak English, but I understood when they went to crawling under them drills that it was getting ready to get dangerous. And I told them, I said, we got to get out of here. But the thing was, you know, in just a second, that rock, it just went everywhere. And, you know, we saw such power there. Like I said, that is the same word root that we see here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. That power, that is the same idea that's being expressed here to us, is that same power that we can see in something like that dynamite, just that great power. You know, like I said, people like power, don't they? You know, like I said, people are kind of, I don't care who you are, where you're from, you know, like I said, if you said, hey, do you want to watch this dynamite blow up? I believe everybody's going to say, yeah. We've got a feller working with us this summer, and he is from a different country and a place where it doesn't have the freedoms that we have here. And we were talking to him about different things, and he was talking about guns, and we're like, yeah, we got guns. And he was, really? And I said, yeah, probably everybody in this office has multiple guns. And he was astounded. I said, have you ever shot a gun? He said, no. I said, would you like to? He said, oh, yes. Even though he had never seen it, never experienced it, he knew that power. And there was something appealing about that power. Even though he wasn't experienced with it, even though he was somewhat scared of it, when asked if he wanted to take part, oh, yes. There was no pause, no hesitation. You say, well, what does all of that have to do with this? You see, God's Word is just like all of that. It is, as we said, that powerful. You see, when you read through the New Testament, something that you might read over a lot, it's 120 some times through the New Testament this word is used. It's not always used as power in the King James Version that we use today. If you look back, when it talks about Christ's mighty works, that's the same word root. That's the same thing. When you see that woman with the issue of blood, when she got up there and touched the hem of his garment, and it says that virtue left him, it's that same word. You see, he's got power today. And just like that dynamite that we talked about can blow rocks all to pieces, the gospel of Jesus Christ can do things that we can't even imagine. It can reach places that we can't even fathom. You know, there's things that we would look at and we would say there is no way around them. There is no way through them. There is no way over them. Let me ask you this. Have you given the gospel a chance? because it can destroy anything that is in the way. It can make that rock into powder. You see, also through the New Testament, we find this same word being used when we see Peter and Paul and Stephen doing the work of God. You see, today we have just as much power, if not more, than we've seen exhibited back there in Genesis. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what am I supposed to do with this? Boy, just let it go. Let it loose. You know, you think about that dynamite. You know, they carry it around, and as long as it's in the truck and it ain't being used, it's useless, isn't it? But boy, when they put it to work, what it can do. Do you know the gospel's the same way? Let me just say right here, this Bible is not a paperweight. You know, this Bible is not a decoration. This Bible is something that's to be used. That's how we can find its power. You know, it's not what you have on the outside of it, but what's on the inside of it that makes it so powerful. You know, so many folks, you know, that they just never open up the Word of God. They never read the Word of God. They never, you know, they don't ever take it and use it. You know, if you keep that dynamite put up all the time, it ain't going to blow them rocks up. You can look at it and talk to it all day long and it ain't going to happen. But when you put that dynamite in those rocks and let it do its work, it'll do what it's meant to. The same thing with the Word of God. When we get it out, when we use it, when we apply it properly, when we use it in the right way. Do you know, let me just say this, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. Just like dynamite could be very dangerous if misused, so can the Word of God. You say, well, how is that? You ever heard anybody take the Word of God and twist it around to say something they wanted it to say? Anybody in here honest enough to say that you've done the same thing? Right. You know, if we take it and apply it in the wrong way, it's dangerous. But when it's applied in the right way and in the right place, boy, the work that it can do. The work that can be done. Do you know, though, when we see this gospel of Christ, this word of the Lord, what is it really that we're talking about? When we say the gospel, it's the good news. I know that. But what is the good news of Jesus Christ? What is that gospel? Is it that Jesus came as a baby in Bethlehem? Is it that he lived on the earth, that he did miracles? Those are components of it. But I would tell you this, it's more than that. You see, that same fellow that I was talking to that wasn't born and raised around here, was born in a country that is not a Christian nation. And I'm going to say something, and I know it's funny, but to give you an idea how uninformed he is on the way things are around here, we were talking about things, and we were amazed by some of the stuff that he had no idea of. We said something about Andy Griffith, and he said, who? We knew right then he was totally uninformed when he didn't know who that was. But my point is, he doesn't know a lot of our culture. And so I had the opportunity to start to talk to him, and he was talking about his religion. And a lot of folks like him, very, very intelligent. And he said in his religion, the highest idea, the highest thing that is achievable is human intellect. You see, they work hard to develop that. They want to be the best intellectually that they can be. They want to learn all they can learn and do all that they can do. And they want to do all of that because in their religion, that is the top. And as I stood there, I tried to think how best to describe it to him. I said, well, in Christianity, it's not the human intellect that's the top. He said, well, what is? I said, love. I said, it's summed up best in one verse. I said, John 3:16. I said, do you know that? He said, no. I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, I said, in your religion, I said, intellect is the greatest thing. I said, in our religion, love is the greatest thing. And I went on to explain to him that there's differences in love. And I told him about agape love. I said, that's the love that God had for us. He loved us so much that he sent his Son to die in our place. Do you know, when we see here in Romans 1:16, It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." What is that gospel? It was the love that was shown to man on Calvary's cross. It wasn't just about him being born in Bethlehem. It wasn't just the miracles that he did. But we see the gospel made full. We see the gospel complete as Christ is hung there on Calvary, buried in that grave, in that tomb, and rising again on that third day. That is the gospel of Christ. And I would tell you here tonight that if you will take that to the world, that will be as powerful as any dynamite. That will be as powerful as anything that we can ever take to anyone. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that'll make a difference to this lost and dying world. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what we say. If we do not take the gospel of Christ, it is all a waste. If we've gathered here tonight for anything less than to see the gospel of Christ furthered, we're here wasting our time. Let me tell you what, if you're not interested in seeing folks saved and that gospel expanded, you might as well quit the church and join the Moose Lodge. It'd do you as much good. Because what it is about is the gospel of Christ. Do you know what? That is what reaches down. That is what, as Kelly said 30 years ago, that is what got a hold of her, I'd bet you. Because you know why? 31 years ago, that's what got a hold of me, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the love that he had. Let me tell you what, that's what the world needs today. That's what we need to be taking them. So many churches are looking for a new way or a new thing. They don't need something new. They need something very old. They need that story of Jesus and what he done. And by the way, it ain't just a story. Just like I said there about the creation, I believe what God said, that he created it. I believe what he says in the New Testament as well, that Jesus bled and died, that he was buried and rose again. And I tell you what, I believe he's coming again. You know what? If we will take that message to those around us, we can see something done. If we go with anything else, if we go trying to soothe their conscience, if we go trying to amend their ways, we're not going to work. It's not going to work. There's a lot of organizations out there that I believe they are trying as well as they know how to help people. And so many times you see that they're not able to. Do you know why? They're not going to them with power. We're the only one that has. You know what? Alcoholics Anonymous ain't got power. You know, all of these drug rehab programs, they ain't got power. The one thing that has power is Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that has power. It is the power of God unto salvation. Tell me something that is more powerful in the Word of God than that. As I said, he didn't start with nothing and make something. He started below nothing and made something. I tell you, I'm glad tonight that I'm saved. I'm glad to know that I had that gospel preached to me. And I'm glad to know that that gospel will still work today. And if the sun comes up tomorrow, it will still work tomorrow. And if time stands for 100 or 1,000 more years, it will still work. It'll still be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing less, nothing more. That's all we can give is the gospel of Christ. I want to ask everybody if they would to bow their heads just a moment. If we'd have somebody come to the piano for just a minute, just to play a verse or two. We've tried to preach to you tonight what the Lord has given us.